What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Yanks of the Cop. Thanks for joining us again today. After an abysmal performance, in my opinion, against Real Madrid. Before we get into that, as always, I'm your host, Scans LFC, joined by Wahomi. And today we have a special guest, Tom, from the Red Debate. Thanks so much for joining us today, Tom.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Shame about the result, but let's get to it.
Yeah, we got a lot to cover. Definitely a shame about the results. Let's just start right there, I guess. I mean, a lot of us had 2-1 in this game in favor of Liverpool. Some had 2-0. Some had 1-1, 2-2. Overall, just didn't get it done today for the Reds. You can blame Klopp. You can blame the players. But overall, you know, Real Madrid really showed why they are the kings of the Champions League today, in my opinion. They were absolutely phenomenal. They caught us off guard. They hit us right in the mouth. And it seemed like we weren't ready for it at all. Well, homie, let's start with you, actually. What were your general thoughts on this game?
I thought it was we looked scared, like starstruck from a minute ago, to be honest. That's what it felt like. It felt as if our players were meeting celebrity heroes and they were not in awe of the Real Madrid players, thinking, oh, yeah. I get to meet Tony Cruz, I get to meet Modric, Benzema, yay, I want to get the autographs. I want to get the autographs after the game and so I can show my kids and stuff. That's what it felt like. They looked scared. You know, from the minute go, you could see, like, there were sloppy passes. You know, Trent did that cross for the ball that just went straight out. And you could see it from everyone. Everyone from top to bottom was just shaky. And what really baffled me was, when the game, all of our, like, you know, when we were giving our team lineups, none of us had Keita starting this game. You know, none of us saw Keita starting this game. We all were like, the big debate is whether it's Jota or Firmino, but midfield is going to be Gini, Fabinho, Thiago. That's midfield. So yeah. Klopp totally shocked us and threw a spanner. I don't know what Klopp saw in training with Keita, because obviously we're not privy to that, but just to see Keita today. You know, and he wasn't the only one, so I'm not trying to scapegoat him, but he just looked totally out of sync with the rest of midfield. Totally not understanding whether when to go forward, when to press. And there wasn't like, he looked at a player who hadn't played for Liverpool for quite a while, and that's what it looked like. Just thrown in.
Yeah.
And there's no, they've not actually practiced on him being the team properly. So I think that was a huge mistake not starting Thiago tonight, because, you know, the one thing I noticed in midfield was, in that first 15, 20 minutes, we had no control of the ball. We couldn't string two passes together. You know, there's no midfield that was taking charge of the ball, controlling it, keeping possession for us. While with Madrid, we just saw how Cruz and Modric were just passing the ball like so nonchalant, like, you know, showing us how to control a game. You know, yes, there was no press from us whatsoever. Our press was non-existent tonight, which really annoyed me, because I thought, like, as good as Madrid were, most of the goals came from us not pressing, you know, just allowing them time and space to turn, pass and shoot. And it just was just like shocking. It just reminded me of the performances we put against like Brighton and Burnley and stuff, where we just turned up, no press whatsoever, hunger, no desire to chase the ball. You know, I was watching times where like Madrid are passing the ball in defence, and Jota and Salah just stood there watching them pass the ball around, making no effort to press them, close them down. But I'm like, what are they doing? You know, and I think I read an article when Melissa Reddy posted for halftime. She was like, we all knew going to this game how good Tony Cruz's passing was. Yet, the entire midfield stood there, watched him drop deep, pick a ball, put it over the top of Vincenzo Jr. You know, it was just basic. So for me, it just left me furious watching that whole game.
It's quite the rant there. I love it. Definitely needed to get something off your chest, I think. But Tom, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Wahomi, you've said it all there, mate. But the two key points that you raised there for me, initially, we did look overawed. I completely agree with you. We couldn't get any control of the game initially, making sloppy passes, losing possession. The other one you mentioned is control. Almost flashbacks to Kiev against Madrid, same scoreline, same midfield three on their behalf. I remember going into the Kiev game thinking we can get at these with our legs in midfield. we've obviously gone for an 11. Well, primarily the front six, obviously with Jota in for Firmino and Keita in for Thiago, which I was also surprised about. But they're two players that the coaching staff, particularly Linders, has cited as pressing machines. I think he's referenced them both as pressing machines. I really expected us to press with a higher intensity today than we did. But I think it's a midfield masterclass from Madrid. Was surprised to read after the game that Kroos did the most running on the pitch as well. Absolutely controlled things. Casemiro, I think he won 17 out of 25 duels. That's big numbers. Was expecting more from Fabinho. I mean, we can probably talk about individual players later on in the game, but overrun in midfield. Certainly, Thiago seemed to make a difference when he came on, but it's a different approach with Thiago. It's more about tempo control than controlling with off the ball, running and squeezing. But yeah, flat. I must say, there was 10 minutes at the end where it looked like that 3-2 might be coming. Could really have done with it, but wasn't to be.
Yeah, I think you kind of said it right there for me. I thought that the midfield choice of adding Keita instead of Thiago, we didn't have any tempo. You know, we would get the ball and we would automatically force it into an unnecessary interception. You know, we didn't let the midfield get up. We didn't let the wings get up. We would just force it and then we'd be back on our heels pretty quickly. So I thought we were pretty tired in that first half, and that's why the goals came. That's why the mistakes came. You know, Trent Alexander-Arnold heading the ball straight back to Asensio, who had a nice little flick. And I thought Vinicius, you know, he was definitely the standout up in that front three. I thought Benzema had some great movement. But, Steven, what did you think about this game?
I think Klopp bottled the lineup. I have no idea why Keita was in that game. Made no sense at all. Guy who hasn't – like, I don't even remember the last time Keita played a game for us. And then he comes in and plays again in the biggest game of the season for us. And I understand why Klopp did it, you know, especially with Varane being out. Like, it was clear that he wanted to get the first goal and try and get the away goal early.
Yeah.
But something that we talked about a lot on the show, if you start Jota and you start Keita, you have nobody to come off the bench to change the game. Like, Thiago did, obviously. Like, but this is why we signed Thiago, was to play in game. Cruz's goal, assist today. Like, that's exactly the stuff that Thiago could be doing for us. And we didn't have anybody like that in the midfield without him. And I think without having Thiago in there and having Naby Keita in there instead, it caused discomfort around the entire team. Trent, like, I thought Nat Phillips and Trent were playing on their heels and playing nervous and scared. We couldn't string together any passes. Like, it was like, this is why I wanted, this is why you would start Firmino and start Thiago, is because you're playing more defensive. Firmino knows how to, you know, block out the passing lanes and do that sort of thing. Like, Salah and Jota in that first half could not do anything at all. And Imani was putrid today as well, but nobody in the front three could do anything. So then what are you going to do in the second half to change that? You can't really bring on Bobby Firmino to start, you know what I mean, to change it that way. Bobby would have been the guy to start to slow down their midfield, cut out their passing lanes, and do all that. Instead, I guarantee you Madrid was just licking their chops when they saw a starting lineup, just being like, okay, no problem at all. We can just pass right through it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm so happy he subbed that Naby out before the half, because – this was his opportunity, and he fucking blew it. So I don't want to hear any more people talking about Naby Keita being this, being that, being a savior or anything like that. He doesn't have it. He doesn't have it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to judge Naby of this one performance. I think it's kind of tough on him. I think it was just more of a mistake by Klopp. You know, Naby hasn't played in the game in a while, and then he's all of a sudden thrown into a Champions League tie against Real Madrid. I just think the occasion maybe got to the team. And I think that Keita's presence in that midfield might have thrown off the balance that we had with Gini and Fabinho. Fabinho looked kind of lost to me at times as well. Yep. That third goal for me was actually on Fabinho. Wahomi and I were talking about it together. But, you know, Modric just drifted right past him. He was slightly off balance. But to be honest, the whole team performance from Klopp down to all the players, it just wasn't a complete performance at all. It was a tale of two halves, like we always say. And while we did have, I think, 20 good minutes in the second half, it's not enough against the best Champions League team ever. So let's just get to the chat real quick. LFC Gamer said, what was Klopp thinking? when he played Keita over an informed Thiago. Yeah, we're going to get to more about that in a second LFC gamer. Chris Welch, very disappointed tonight to see what happens. You'll see what happens when Kabak and Phillips get tested. That's what Real Madrid have done. Fair play to them. Deserve to win. As for us, I'm livid and disgusted. Klopp out, obviously has said Klopp out. He's had enough. Steven Stubbs, unfortunately, I think Keita has played his last game for us. So much potential, but he just hasn't shown it. Madrid were there for the taking, but we made it easy for them. We didn't close it. Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I didn't think that Madrid were like lights out in that first half. They were a little sloppy too. I mean, their passing percentage, I think, in the first half was like 83%, 84%, and ours was just around the same number. But we just kept them on the front foot the entire first half. We gave them the ball continuously. So let's just get to Keita. I think a lot of the chat is kind of going off on Keita. I mean, do you guys agree with the general sentiment we're getting here that, you know, this should be the last game with Naby Keita? Is it over for him, or are you more sentimental and you think that, you know, we should keep him in the squad, give him another shot? Tom, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, so followers of our account will know that largely me, Chris and I tend to have divided opinions on Keita. Largely me, I've been an advocate of Naby Keita. I think it's clear that Klopp trusts him in some senses. He started him against Barcelona. He seems to bring him in from the cold, and he's not afraid to use him in big games. The discussion has, however, been around whether we can trust him. He really wasn't good tonight. I mean, he was amongst a collection of players with subpar performances in that first half, but it just did not work, I don't think. It reminded me a little bit of his performance away to Napoli in the Champions League a number of years ago, when he went off with a back injury and just stunk the place out when he was on the pitch, losing the ball every time he got it. I think, back to Wahomey's first point about us feeling overawed by the occasion, Keita just looked like he was out of his depth there. He's obviously gone through this 5-week or however long rehabilitation program that it is to get him ready for these big games, and he just didn't perform. I was surprised to not see him against Arsenal. I'd appreciate he played one of the two international fixtures, but despite him not playing, I did not think he'd start tonight. But yeah, it's a shame for Naby. There's a real player in there. There really is. He's had moments of brilliance, but he's also had moments just looking out of his depth in this Liverpool midfield.
Yeah, I mean, he's going against Kroos and Modric. So, I mean, anybody will be out of their element. But, Wahomey, what do you think?
Yeah, I think, like I said before, I think like there was a lack of rhythm, balance and sync in terms of the midfield. Like, they weren't playing as a unit. You know, there are times when Keita would be pressing higher, and the other two have dropped deep. So it just looked off balance. It just looked like we had a practice playing with them free in training or something. You know, and I just didn't understand, like, you know, because in that half, like, are we playing Keita on the right to give Trent protection? Because he never gave Trent any protection whatsoever. You know, so I didn't understand why we're playing Keita on that right-hand side. You know, Keita's best games that we have played have been on the left-hand side of midfield, not on the right-hand side. Because he's not going to... He has a good link-up with Mane and Robertson on that left-hand side. When he's on the right-hand side, he's not good at tracking back in that sense and covering Trent. He doesn't do what Henderson does, you know. So I feel like on that right-hand side, we were totally overbalanced. And not only Naby's fault, because obviously Salah wasn't tracking back much. So I don't think it's an indicator for me. Like, I agree with you, Andrew. I don't think I'm going to write him off totally on this game. But I think tonight showed that he's well off the pace, and he's way, way down the pecking order. And, you know, he just didn't work out for him tonight. You know, we know there's talent in there, but it's just not showing it. And tonight was just a disaster class for him from start to finish. You know, except that one dribble he did, that was really good. I can't remember him doing anything else.
Yeah. Stephen, we kind of heard your thoughts already on Keita, but Shane in the chat said there is an away goal. There's a lot to play for in the second leg. Where's the optimism? Tough to have optimism after a game like that if you're a Liverpool supporter. But even, do you think this tie is over, or do you think we still have a shot at it? I mean, 3-1, we have that away goal. If we win 2-0, we're through.
Oh, we still have a shot, 100%. I mean, all it takes is a 2-0 win, and we're through at home. I think we'll be a lot more comfortable. I don't think Klopp will make the same mistake again, putting Naby in there. And look at, like you said, with Naby, like, it was – the odds were stacked against him too. Like he got thrown, kind of got thrown into the fire. But like, you know, availability is an ability. You're finally available. You got to make the most of your chance. And he dropped the ball big time. And like, but again, the entire team sucked in the first half. So you can't just single him out. But when you play a guy like Naby, you hope that he's going to bring a spark to the team. Like that's kind of why he's there. And like, you're supposed to add that creative element for us in the midfield. And he didn't bring it. So that's my point on that. But no, like this tie is definitely not over. 100% not over. You know, I think a guy like Nat Phillips is going to have a lot more confidence in the second leg. Like he's seen them now. He's had that experience going against a truly world-class club. But yeah, you know, I just think, you know, it's not over. If we can beat that Barcelona team 4-0, there's no reason why we can't beat this team without Ramos, Varane, all the guys that they don't have in the second leg at home.
Steve, we had an Anfield crowd though. We don't have a crowd at Anfield.
So they didn't have a crowd there. They didn't have a crowd in Real Madrid either. And like, I get the Anfield crowd's a massive thing, but like, and it definitely played a factor in that second leg against Barcelona. But we have more than enough talent on this team to go head to head with these guys. Like, it's not over. Is it going to be an uphill climb? Absolutely, but it's not over yet.
Tom, are you as pessimistic as Wahomi, or are you optimistic like Steven?
I'd say I lie somewhere between the two. I mean, the top teams just kill you with moments of brilliance, don't they? And I think one thing you cannot deny, however poor we've been all season, you cannot deny that this team has got plenty of players who can have those moments of brilliance. I'm with Steven on the idea that Real Madrid are significantly weaker without Ramos and Varane. That said, I thought Militao was excellent tonight. But, you know, it's almost make or break for our season. I think, you know, whatever you think about whether we're going to finish fourth or not, that's going to be an uphill struggle. It seems, or it certainly seemed like this was all we had to play for this season. And yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put it past us to score two against Real Madrid and keep a clean sheet. Stranger things have happened, particularly with this club, but they're a fantastic European side. They really are.
Yeah. And I think that, I think a lot of us would have a lot more faith if we really saw some inspiration today. We didn't really see much of that in the midfield. We didn't really see much of that up front. And one player in particular, Sadio Mane, I thought was absolutely atrocious. He's been, you know, he's had a tough season all year long, but in this game in particular, it seemed like Lucas Vazquez was getting the best of him all day. He was on the floor, always looking for a call, and just wasn't bringing much glory to his name, I thought, in this game. So, I mean, what do you guys think about Sadio Mane? You know, Wahomi and I were talking before the show that maybe he needs to sit down, put Bobby in, put Shaqiri, you know, switch it up a little bit, make him come off the bench. His touches just seem so off. His decision-making seems off. His balance seems off. He just seems like a completely different player than what we've seen in the past three seasons. But, Wahomi, what do you think about that? Do you think we should keep going with Mane or just...
No, I think he needs to stay on the bench. I wouldn't start him in the second leg, and I wouldn't start him against Villa. He needs to sit on the bench. He needs to spend the basement for me, like be locked up in the basement for a couple of weeks. Because what's the point of playing him? I don't understand how he finished the game today. Like, you know, and the thing with Mane is the fact when he plays Paul, Robert plays Paul as well. You know, there's no link synergy down the left hand side. You know, like, and I think Mane just every time he just falls down. Trying to get a free kick or a penalty instead of just staying on his feet, you know, or holding onto the ball too long. So I get obviously the argument that he hasn't had a rest in like probably like proper rest in like over the last 3 years, but he just needs to spell on the bench. And the reason why we're playing him is favoritism, because I don't see why he's starting or why he's if he continues playing.
Why was he kept in today?
I don't know. I didn't make sense to me. I thought, like, if you're going to take on anyone off, take Mane off and put Jota wide and then keep Bobby in the middle. Not take Jota off and keep Mane on. He's not going to score because, you know, when was the last time Mane even scored? You know, so I just feel like he needs a spell on the bench for me, like, and just to rest up and reevaluate what's going on for him.
Tom, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, again, absolutely love Sadio Mane, but our group conversations whilst that game was going on with it, he was poor again today. I think Real Madrid defended our front three quite well. They'd obviously done their homework. They made the front three play with their back to goal for large periods of the game. We didn't see much of Mane or Jota running in behind them. Ironically, we saw a lot more of Vinicius and Benzema working the channels, like I was hoping that Jota and Mane might be able to. but yeah, not Mane's finest performance at all. He ended up frustrating me quite a bit by the end. I thought he should have had a few free kicks towards the end of there, but yeah, it was a frustrating day for Mane. Would I drop him? Less sure. Don't know. Largely being that I'm not sure who our rotation options are. I should imagine he'll start him against Villa, but that's not necessarily because the other options are more deserved, I wouldn't have said. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, you could theoretically put Bobby back into his false nine role and then put Jota on the wing. But, we've seen Bobby in that position. We've all complained about that. So I agree with you. It's definitely a tough one. I do want to get to James Pierce just tweeted something that Klopp just said. If you just hold on for just one moment here.
Well, yeah, while you pull that up, I mean, when it comes to Mane, I feel like he maybe should – he could use a spell on the bench, maybe against Villa, just to give him a little kick in the ass. Just let it be known, hey, we know you're not up to snuff. But I don't know. I still just feel like, what are the other options? I only want Shaqiri or Ox in there. So,
yeah.
I feel like he kind of has to be. But, yeah, we can get to this here.
Yeah, so James Pierce said that Klopp was talking about Felix Brich and the decisions against Mane. And he said, for me, it was something personal. He dealt with a clean foul like it was a dive. When he went down, it wasn't right. I told him after I thought he was unfair with Sadio, but he didn't lose us the game. We weren't good enough. I'm honestly getting kind of sick of Klopp complaining about the referees. I don't know how you guys feel about this. Maybe he was asked the direct question about Sadio going down, but Sadio went down very often in that first half, wasn't getting the calls. So maybe you stop going down. It's like the old story of the kid who cried wolf. If he keeps crying wolf, he's not going to get – he's not going to get a result when the wolf is actually at his doorstep. So, what do you guys think about that? Do you think Klopp is being, making too many excuses?
Yeah. I mean, we didn't lose the game because Mane didn't get that call. We lost the game because we were absolutely putrid in the first half. He has been doing a lot of that this year. It has been getting a little annoying, especially with the substitution stuff. And then he wouldn't even use all his substitutions in the games at the start of the season. I just think there's been a massive chink in our armor this year, and I think it starts with FSG, starts with Klopp going all the way down. It's just been one of those seasons where we can't really get one bounce to go our direction. So I just think it's just kind of been a story of the entire season.
I think what we saw as well tonight for me is the gulf in levels of defenders. When you look at Milito and Nacho, their passing range is miles better than what Felix and Kavak can do. They're far more better range in passing. When we get the ball, Felix and Kavak slow down the game in a Champions League level. And they can't play good forward passes. And it makes it so easy. That's why Madrid, before the season we had Van Dijk or Gomez or Matip, they can do a pass that beats the press. Kavak and Felix cause us to just pass the ball at the back. And it's so slow and static. And it's so easy for Madrid to get people behind the ball. Well, obviously, the few times we did try to press Madrid's defence, they just pass way through us, the centre-backs. Or you'd see Milito come out of the ball and just run past a Salah or Jota and just pass the ball, bring the ball forward. There's a massive gulf in difference in levels. And I just think, I wasn't one of the people that's jumping on the bandwagon of Phillips and Kabak. And look, while they have played well in the games they've done, they've never been tested. And I said the two games they'll get tested were the Arsenal and Madrid. Arsenal was shambolic, so they didn't test them. Madrid tested them, and they've completely failed. They completely were exposed all game. They couldn't handle the movement of Asenio, Benzema, and Vinicius Junior. They couldn't handle it. They were all over the place. And we can say, they didn't get protection, but at the same time, the amount of times I saw Kabak give the ball away in the first half, or Phillips give the ball away, or Phillips miss a header, you know, Madrid, they were all over the place. They got exposed badly tonight. And we saw the golf, you know, that if you're, if we would even then play a Bayern Munich, I would not trust Felix and Kappa against a Bayern Munich or a PSG because they get exposed again by the movement. They can't handle that. They can't handle that kind of movement, that kind of trickery and pace. And we saw that tonight. And we saw that, you know, the fact that they're ball watching, the amount of times that both of them are ball watching when like, and static when like, we did in the penalty box, they just stand there watching, doing absolutely nothing, marking no one. You know, even like, Andrew, you say that the third goal was Fabinho's fault. Yeah, Fabinho allowed Modric to turn him so quickly. But there was two of them, Kabak and Phillips, just stood there watching Vicente Jr. pick up the ball, unmarked, turn and shoot. Why was no one pressing him? They stood there doing absolutely nothing. And you can't do that at the top level. You can't do that at the top level. You know, even the second goal, they're completely caught. The ball at the top, they're completely caught off guard. For the first goal, they're completely caught off guard, you know, for that first ball over the top. A simple ball over the top, and they're completely all over the place. You can't do that again at the top level.
That was a perfect ball over the top. That was
But it was still all over the place. I don't think that goal happens in Van Dijk or Gomez playing there. They get back and stop that. I don't think it happens when we're top centre-backs.
Probably not. They're world-class defenders. Like,
I don't think that goal happens. Yeah, but I don't think that goal happens if it's Nacho Milito. I don't think that goal happens if Nacho Milito. I think they get back and stop that. And I think that's a different goal. Different goal. You can defend the way you want, but Cabas and Phillips were not good enough tonight, and they got exposed against top level. And
nobody was good enough tonight.
They weren't good enough, but then you can't honestly say to me that you would trust Kabak and Phillips against Man City, Bayern Munich, PSG after that performance. They were all over the place.
I thought that they did good enough tonight for us to get a result. I thought the rest of the team was also atrocious, though. But Tom, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, again, somewhere between the two points. I don't really feel as though Kabak and Phillips let us down. We know they're both front foot defenders. They both win their duels. You know, they're both contact defenders. They can look decent in moments. But I think sort of positionally, I'm with Wahome on that. Positionally, I mean, we're persisting with a higher line, which ripples anxiety through the team when you know balls over the top are going to be chased down by Nat Phillips rather than Gomez or Van Dijk, both of whom are quicker than most strikers out there. The gulf in class is evident. Obviously, they had two second choice centre backs, as did we. You know, Matip would be our third, but their step downs are Nacho, a Spain international, Eder Militao, a Brazil international. I thought Militao in particular was fantastic tonight. He's a real athlete. He's a centre back that can do a bit of everything. He was very impressive tonight, I thought. Again, when I heard the news of Varane and Ramos being out, it piqued my interest, but they really stepped up, their boys. I don't necessarily think they had bad games individually, Kabak and Phillips. I don't think they're not significant moments in which they've let us down, but it's just stylistically how they enable or disable us from playing. They're both, as Wahome said, a bit slower on the ball and certainly slower across the ground. I don't feel let down by them. It's not necessarily their fault. We're just let down by the circumstance of this season, really, aren't we? A totally different game if Van Dijk and Gomez played, in my opinion. But
yeah, of course. Yeah, I think it would have been awesome to see both teams fully healthy. You know, Van Dijk and Gomez in there, and see Ramos and Varane in there, and just see what would have happened. Some wind came out of the sail a little bit with all the injuries, especially on both sides. But, you know, again, I said when the team news came out, like, you can't sleep on Nacho and you can't sleep on Militao. These guys play for Madrid for a reason.
Yeah.
And Madrid is the Champions League darlings for a reason. And they showed exactly why. Under Zidane, they play with a ton of confidence in the Champions League. And they came out and showed it and literally just shoved it right in our mouths in the first half. So you got to – as much as it sucks, you got to tip our cap to them. I actually thought Quebec played decent at times. I thought the first goal was more reflective on poor communication between Trent and Nat Phillips, and it really was on Quebec. Like, Vizinhas was making the run from Trent's position in that gap. So, like, the communication needed to be better. He needed to let Nat Phillips know that was coming better, so he could have dropped off a little bit more. But, I mean, there was – that almost happened like two or three different times in the first half. Like, there was one where Vicinas was in and Phillips barely got a head back to it to Allison. But, I think across the board in the first half, it was just way too poor. We took way too long on to get into the game, which was too bad. But To get to a couple of things in the chat here. Mustafa, he thinks Trent, Fab, Mane, and Alisson let us down. Yeah, Alisson probably should have had that third goal. We talked about him being a world-class keeper. And, you know, those are the moments when he needs to pick us up a little bit when our team's playing bad. You know, if all things considered, if he saved that and we go into the second leg 2-1 after his poor performance, I think we're all feeling a lot better about where we are going into it. I definitely still think we have a chance. It's not over yet. But it's going to take a massive team turnaround and a massive response like we had against Barcelona to really do something. But Mustafa thinks that up in Salah too, we saved our honor tonight. Again, I think it was more, you know, just got exposed at times. It's just a tough game. It's just frustrating. You know, I think our fan base thought we would not be with the injuries and back for Madrid, and we didn't make the most out of it. But this is like the classic example. I could never over the opponent. They could La Liga. They won this weekend against Barcelona. And don't forget that Barcelona this weekend.
That's right, your internet's terrible. Can't really hear you at all.
All right, cool.
Sorry, you just keep going in and out. It's pretty bad. So. Yeah, Watford had a question in here. He said, can you do a separate debate on whether Liverpool should dismantle this team come summer? That's a good question. I don't think that we should dismantle it at all, actually. I think that we have a pretty solid foundation. We just had a couple injuries going the wrong way, and we paid the price for it, and that's kind of what we saw in this game. You know, we were missing – I mean, they were missing their two best center backs as well, but, we're using our fourth and fifth stringers while they're using their third and fourth, so – I think that was massive. Ramos was wearing glasses today. Looked like he was at a romantic movie with his girlfriend. That's he looked good. I'll give him that. It looked like he was definitely doing some workouts. But Blade Brown said, I saw Ramos laughing in the stadium tonight. I heard him say, who is the Liverpool defenders? Are they Liverpool fans who won a prize to play in a game? Yeah, Blade, let's try to keep it optimistic, man. You know, I know you said, I think I saw you said that you threw away your jersey that your girlfriend gave you for Christmas. So hopefully you picked it out of the trash. And I think she's probably mad at you at this point. But yeah, I mean, what do you think? What do you guys think it's going to take in the next leg to overcome? I mean, what's going to have to change? Do we have to start with Thiago? Do we have to start with Bobby? What changes would you make? Would you go 4-2-3-1? Just what would be the difference maker for the second leg for us to go through?
I think we've got to come out of the blocks, second leg. Early goal. It's going to have to be an early goal. We're going to have to come out of the blocks. We started awfully tonight. I think if we're talking about personnel, I'd probably go with Thiago again, the tempo controlled. And I think I'm probably with Steve. I'd be tempted to play Firmino from the off.
Yeah, I think I would even start with the idea of doing a 4-2-3-1 just to change up. Thinking away goals probably over, but you gotta instill some fear against those guys. Sorry if my connection sucks. But I think you just got to go for it. I think you have to go for it. Start Firmino and play a front four with Thiago and Fabinho as double pivot.
Yeah. Well, homie, what do you think?
Going to take a miracle. It's going to take a miracle night. I think I wouldn't go 4-2-3-1 because I think we'll get overloaded midfield. I wouldn't want to leave one of Kroos and Modric unmarked because we saw tonight how they just punished us with one ball at the top and our whole defense is over the place. So for me, I think personally, for me in that game, I wouldn't start Mane. I would play me in the middle, Jota wide, and Thiago in the middle, and just stay them and go for it. Because I think Mane, I just don't see what Mane's going to offer in that game differently than he's done tonight, and that he's going to all of a sudden turn up good. So we can't afford a passenger. And I think we just have to go for it. Like Klopp doesn't say to him, look, you know, go for it, try and get an early goal in that first half an hour, and then, you know, get an early goal in the second half, and then we should be fine. Obviously, we have to defend better than we did tonight and actually come out of the blocks and not be starstruck again, because, you know, that's what hindered us big time tonight.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. I actually have to run, guys, so I'm going to pass it on to Wahomie and Steven. But thanks for the time. Let's be optimistic. Still a second leg. We did it against Barcelona. Hopefully we can do it against Real Madrid. See ya.
Peace.
Yep, see ya. What about you, Steven? How do we pick up this team up going forward?
I don't know, man. Like, I think it's just the thing is like, I just, you know, we can change the, like, I want to think just like, you know, starting Thiago, putting Firmino in there can change the game. But ultimately, it's just, I don't know what, like, it's going to take an epic speech from Klopp, maybe. Just like, I don't know. Like, I just think the team needs to rally around each other. And just like Salah's shirt back when we played against Barcelona, never give up. Like, you got to know, like, on their best day, they can compete with anybody, regardless of who's in the back. We can compete with anybody. We just got to play with the heart. We just have to, you know, go from doubters to believers, like Klopp made us when he first came over. And it sounds just like stupid, but like, I think it's just a psychological switch that these guys have to flip, like, with their backs against the wall. Like, our backs are literally against the wall now for the rest of the season. This last leg and all the remaining Premier League games, we have to play our best football. Otherwise, we're not going to get top four. We're not going to go on in the Champions League. So I like to think that our team and our backs have been against the wall. We have stepped up. So I'm hoping that can be a little spark for us. But there's really nothing that you can do in the span of a week to, you know, completely change the performances. You just have to go out there and just have that sense of belief, and just, I don't know, you got to find that motivation within yourself to go out there and just not have a performance like you did today.
Yeah. Do you think he plays Thiago against Villa?
I think so, yeah.
Three games, well, 2.5 games in a week.
Yeah, you know, because he didn't really play that. You know, I know he played against Arsenal, played a lot of minutes there, but he didn't play a ton of minutes for Spain over those 2 week break. I wouldn't be surprised if he starts and then gets subbed off, something like that. But yeah, I think it's gonna be a really interesting lineup with what he decides to do for Aston Villa, because we're gonna 100% need all the fresh legs as possible for Madrid, but we also can't not get 3 points. So that is going to be interesting, especially in the midfield, who's going to go. I think Curtis Jones will feature, against Aston Villa. So if in that regard, who would partner Fabinho and him? Like, I don't know, maybe Milner. Maybe we'll see Milner in there again. But also, somebody in the chat mentioned, like, there was not a ton of leadership today. Do you think a guy like Milner could have helped in the midfield just with his energy and his physicality?
Yeah, I do. I was actually thinking this. Fortunes could have been slightly different had Milner started ahead of Keita. I mean, James Milner is a limited footballer, but he's also an excellent leader. I think we certainly missed that. So I again see someone in the chat say we missed Henderson. Completely agree. Yeah. Really, we really have done. Yeah.
Can I ask a question? Do you guys feel Ginny's a good enough captain?
No.
No, I'm with Steve, man.
No, I don't think so. I honestly just think it comes down to like the tenure thing. I think he was actually voted by his captains, but I mean, voted by his teammates as like the fourth captain or whatever, or third captain, whatever it is. But no, I think I see Gini Wijnaldum as more of a leader by like just kind of like showing you. You know what I mean? He's not a big like, I don't see him being a huge vocal guy, but he's kind of more of like a leader by doing, just like, I'm going to go out and bust my butt every day. But I don't think he's an actual vocal leader that you need on the pitch, or a guy who can go into a hard tackle, you know, and change the game, something like that. You know, I think that's Van Dijk, that's Henderson, that's Milner, those guys.
Yeah. He frustrated me tonight, Wijnaldum. He moments of brilliance again. He was great for the goal. It's that surging run. I mean, that's probably what we started Keita to do, carry the ball through their midfield. Wijnaldum did it superbly there. But as he very regularly does, had moments in the game where you just wondered if he was even playing.
It seems like he can't hit a pass more than 5-10 yards at times. And it's just like, it's absolutely infuriating. Like, he does a lot of good things defensively, but offensively, it just seems like he doesn't do anything of the stuff that he does for the Netherlands. And sure, it's a different system, different team. But again, yeah, especially, I was just expecting more out of him today, I guess, you know, a little disappointing.
Yeah, I got thinking about it when he was on the ball towards the end of the game. He's obviously very likely to not be in our squad next season. And going back to that question someone asked about a reshuffle, he's been an ever-present Wijnaldum. It will feel strange to see. I know when people pick their select 11s, they often leave him out of the team, but Klopp doesn't tend to. It will seem strange seeing us without Wijnaldum in the midfield next season. Yeah.
I think. I just didn't like him as a captain. I know he's the fourth choice in the leadership. I just don't see what he offers as a captain. I think obviously fantastic player, and obviously I'd definitely be playing him. But I don't think the captain's amber should be on him. I think he should jump someone else in the team. But I just don't feel he's a captain, and he doesn't offer anything in terms of leadership today that helps us get through what we're going through. You know, so I didn't understand that. I'd rather, I don't know, Alisson or someone else be captain. You know, that's...
Yeah. Mo Salah.
Yeah, someone else.
Get that far in his belly.
Yeah, I just feel like... Yeah. I think the other two questions I think we should talk about is Trent and Robertson. Because with Robbo, for example, he's been a shadow of the player he's been. You know, when's the last time Robbo put a good crossing? Or actually offered anything down the left flank? I can't remember the last time he put in a good crossing. And actually contribute down the left-hand side. He looks tired and he just looks struggling down that side. And it obviously doesn't help with Mane being so in poor form. And then with Trent was shocking tonight. Absolutely shocking the whole game. Like,
yeah.
How many times did Trent just give the ball away or get frustrated where he was trying to do something on the opposition half and just lose possession of the ball? How many crosses did he put in that are actually worthwhile? So it was just shocking tonight.
Yeah, it was frustrating because even in the build-up, you know, when you saw Madrid playing a back four and Vasquez being the right back, like I fully anticipated Liverpool attacking that side with Mane and set back more known against Vinicius Jr. Even before he scored, there was about three or four times Trent was up way up. And it was a problem. And they didn't start right away. Then obviously the second goal, first goal, you can connect Trent to it, you know. It was sloppy.
Yeah, Sim, you're breaking up quite a bit. So, Brent, what about you, Tom? What did you think in terms of Robbo and Trent?
Trent didn't have his finest performance at all, did he? I think Steve was just about to, before he cut out, mention the second goal. That's just one of those head-in-your-hand moments from Trent, isn't it? It reminded me, strangely, of Gerrard doing it for England against France all those years ago. Just one of those where it was frustrating. I think Vinicius got in his head as well. I'm not a huge fan of Vinicius, but he certainly gave Trent a game tonight. Little argy-bargy towards the end, I think. Yeah, I mean, Trent was excellent against Arsenal, but beyond that, they're not on their finest form, Trent and Robertson. Again, they've got a lot of thinking to do over their shoulder. It's different for them partnering up with Kabak and Phillips, but yeah, they've been absolutely key to our recent success, but not quite at it recently.
Okay. Well, I think we're just... try to end on a high. So we'll do a few trivia questions just to try and make it a bit more fun so we don't leave you in a downer.
No pressure for this, guys.
Something good.
So I was just going to start off. I see other people are calling for it. I think like Oscar was saying, like, can we do some trivia questions? Okay, so the first one, favorite donut?
Ooh, favorite donut. I would say my favorite donut, honestly, classic, just chocolate frosted. Just give me a little chocolate frosted donut.
Tom?
Boston bun from Timmy Hortons.
I'm just classic plain old glazed donut.
I gotta put in my alternate. It's so good. Maybe you guys have them out there, but apple cider donuts. Oh, a nice fresh apple cider donut. Ooh, it is.
I have to put it on the list.
Oh, you definitely.
What's your, when you're down after Liverpool defeat, what's your go-to music to cheer you up? Tom, we'll start with you.
Champions League theme tune. Rerun of Istanbul. In My Life by the Beatles with Sean Connery. Istanbul rerun. I don't know, actually. I've never been asked that question. I don't know if I actually listen to music when we lose. Yeah, probably The Sound of Silence.
Yeah, Steve? I don't know. After a Liverpool defeat, honestly, what I'd probably do is just put on the local commentators for the epic Liverpool comeback against Barcelona. The corner taken quickly clip, you know, that 4 or 5 minute clip on YouTube. I've probably watched that maybe 1,000 times.
Same.
What's yours? What's yours, homie?
My go-to music song when I'm down is, I just put any kind of like house kind of dance music, just uplifting music, like just to get me out of the funk. Get me out of the funk, really.
Otherwise... See, what I struggle with, though, is that oftentimes I'm one of those guys that when I'm pissed off, I like to just stay pissed off. So I just listen to music that will just keep me in a shitty ass mood. So
Klopp said Akon locked up. Marcus said he'd put on Queen, We Are the Champions. Klopp out said Cry Me a River. You'd put Cry Me a River when you're half an empty. I think they're making you cry. Like, Mustafa says, Liverpool anthem, You Never Walk Alone. Yeah, like I can see why you might play that. The final one, what was your favorite childhood film?
Ooh.
Start with you, Tom, again.
Do you know what? I loved the Robin Hood Disney classic, the cartoon. Love that.
Wow. That's a good call. So I like that one. And I think, honestly, growing up, I loved the Disney animated Fox and the Hound. That was a classic. So yeah, that was a classic one, too. But you know, you always have Aladdin 2 and Lion King. No, those are solid, but yeah.
I think my one was Sword in the Stone.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. All Disney animated classics, guys. Look at that.
Yeah, bang on. Do you know what? I've been struggling for some lockdown watches. I might have to refer back to some of these. There we go.
Yeah, I still have at my home growing up, we still have like a full thing that's probably 30 Disney classics in the original packaging, and I'll occasionally go back home and just watch a couple of those, you know, because you can bang those out in like an hour and 20 minutes. So
nice.
Home Alone's a good call, Oscar, and the Goonies, the Truffle Shuffle.
So, Aston, what's my favorite city? Probably favorite city, probably Barcelona. What's yours, Stevie? Favorite city?
Oh, favorite city that I've been to. So it's gonna be a completely different vibe, but Queenstown, New Zealand. If I could move anywhere in the world, I'd move to Queenstown, New Zealand. Unbelievable people, so beautiful. It's a small city. It's a lot of fun.
Tom,
nice. Probably Melbourne, second to Liverpool.
Nice. All right, I think that's the end of, well, Klopp, I think you need to like go for a run or something, because I'm sleeping in the garage tonight because of the game of my car. My little t-shirt.
Man, Klopp, sounds like you're in for a rough one, buddy. Good luck. But, everyone in the chat, as always, I know it was a tough game, but you guys are always on fire. I appreciate you guys, staying through. But hey, it's not over yet. Like what homie likes to say, dare to dream. We're not done. Exactly. It's not over yet until that whistle blows in the second leg. Big match coming up against Aston Villa. You can absolutely do it. If you haven't yet, hit that like
and subscribe button. Actually, smash that like and subscribe button out of oblivion. You know, tell your friends about Yanks the Cop. And also tell your friends about the Red Debate and go over and give them a subscription and subscribe and like their channel as well. So, spread the Liverpool love around.
Thanks for coming on, Tommy the Man.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, guys. I enjoyed that.
Let's do this again. You're a great guest.
Cheers, guys.
All right. Take care, everybody. Up the Reds. We'll be back for the pre-match coming on Thursday, I think, for the Aston Villa match. Take care, everybody.
Yeah. Cool, everybody. Up the Reds.